Support for State Street comes from Salt Lake Community College. With 8 campuses and flexible scheduling options, SLCC provides access to learning for Utah's future employees. More information on community involvement at slcc.edu/community.
The way that bill started was this summer, learning a little bit more about Adam Raine's story. 16-year-old boy from California using an AI chatbot, originally just to help with homework, like many of our kids use, and then having longer conversations leading to sharing his mental health and self-harm, kind of his mental health issues that he was going through, and that led to the AI chatbot leading him down the path of self-harm and then ultimately to commit suicide.
That's Utah Republican Representative Doug Fiafia talking about a bill that was gaining some serious traction up on the Hill.
But that bill is now at a standstill. The White House told Utah that the Trump administration doesn't support it and deemed it, and I'm quoting here, unfixable. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Hugh Ricard Bell. This week on State Street, Utah is all about protecting kids, especially online. And this year, it's looked at a few different ways to regulate artificial intelligence in the name of child safety. So what happens when the federal government steps in? And how far will Utah go to stand up for itself and one of its top priorities?
Plus, was the White House's memo a cease and desist or a request for collaboration?
We sat down with Representative Fiafia, a political analyst and NPR's national technology correspondent, to get to the bottom of it. So, Sean, since we started following this story last week, a few things have changed.
Yeah. You know, it really started with the White House sending a short and to-the-point memo to the Utah legislature on February 12th. It said they opposed a bill written by Representative Doug Fiafia.
And to the point is saying it lightly, Sean. The memo was so short, I'm going to just read the whole thing to you right now. It said, "We are categorically opposed to HB 286 and view it as an unfixable bill that goes against the administration's AI agenda."
No real question they're not big fans, huh?
No, they shot it down pretty quickly. And this bill is pretty straightforward with what it's asking from the major AI companies. We're talking about ones like OpenAI. They're the father group of ChatGPT. It wants these companies to provide reviews of catastrophic risks and harm to children, to let everyone know what they plan to do to keep kids safe. It also carves out some civil penalties for companies that don't abide by these rules. And it offers whistleblower protections for anyone who works for them and speaks out.
And, you know, since Utah lawmakers got that memo, Governor Spencer Cox has weighed in on this. Here he is last Thursday at the Politico Governor's Summit in Washington, D.C., talking about regulating AI.
I'm supportive of the administration when it comes to allowing the development of AI to go unhindered. I think that is important. I think that that matters. But the tools of AI, once you've built your model now and you're implementing it, that's where the states do have to play a role. And so it's one thing if you're developing, if we're fighting China and you're developing your model, but once you start selling sexualized chatbots to kids in my state, now I have a problem with that. And I'm going to get involved there. And the Supreme Court's going to back me up on that.
So to be clear, he didn't name the White House's memo on Fiafia's bill outright, but this was a week after it was sent, and it's obvious that this is an issue that Cox is very firm on.
And, you know, this shows that there's a really interesting dynamic at play here, because this is a federal government that is usually pretty friendly to Utah, being Republican and everything.
Sean, I think we need to zoom out a little so we can figure out how we got here. Because AI has been a topic of contention in Washington for a while now, and it seems to have really heated up in the last 12 months.
Yeah, so I actually phoned a friend on this one. Huo Jingyan is a reporter for NPR's Power and Influence team. She's been covering AI at a national level for quite some time. Here's what she had to say about why the White House is so interested in a Utah state bill.
I mean, in the White House own words, the stakes is it's global, it's America's global dominance in artificial intelligence, right? In particular against China. So in the summer of 2025, the White House published this AI action plan, and it compares the AI race to the space race against the Soviet Union. And you know, what's the first thing in the AI action plan? That's deregulation. It says onerous regulation stifles innovation and they just should be done away with.
Trump actually issued an executive order about AI in December, and it really focused on federal preemption over the states.
Ah, there's that word again, yeah. Preemption. You know, we've talked about this in the past, about the state overriding the power of cities and towns. But, you know, here we have the federal government trying to override the power of the states. This really goes to show that this is an issue that affects all layers of government, from the White House all the way to your city council.
Preemption has really become the word of this State Street season. And if you want a little bit more of a deep dive into what that looks like on more of a local level, go and listen to last week's episode, because it will give some nuanced context to what we're talking about here. Anyway, look, back to this executive order. To quote some of it, Trump wrote, United States AI companies must be free to innovate without cumbersome regulation, but excessive state regulation thwarts this imperative. Did you think I was going to do an impression, Sean?
I did.
Trump made sweeping demands that basically shackled the state's ability to write any AI legislation, but he also defined the need for a federal framework to govern the new tech. Towards the end of that order, the president did carve out a couple of exceptions where states could regulate AI. And one of them, I'm guessing you can see where I'm going with this, was about child safety.
And Hugo, this is why we're all scratching our heads over the White House memo to Utah lawmakers, because Fifia's bill is about child safety. And, you know, based on her reporting and public statements by White House science and technology advisor David Sacks, here's how Huo is reading between the lines.
They really do not like state AI regulation. You know, Sacks has said multiple times on X that a patchwork of regulation in the states is just going to be very too onerous for the AI companies, for the industry to thrive.
So, Sean, surprise, surprise, there's also another layer to this too. During the Utah Senate media availability last week, Senator Mike McKell mentioned that the White House said the bill posed a national security risk. McKell, by the way, is the Senate sponsor for the child safety bill. Here's what happened when I probed him further on that.
Senator McKell, you mentioned that the White House has national security concerns with representatives' Fifia's bill. What are those national security concerns?
I'll be honest with you. When I was on a couple calls, they didn't go into detail, and I think that's fair. They didn't go into details. They just, as they look at AI, as they look at these models, it does and can impact national security.
And when it looked like it was all wrapping up, Senate President Stuart Adams chimed in defense of the administration opposing Fifia's bill.
I don't have any inside information, but I think there's no secret that we used to be in an arms race for nuclear weapons with Russia when I was growing up. There's no secret that we're in an AI arms race with our adversaries right now.
I think it's so interesting that he's invoking that arms race language we heard so much of during the Cold War. I know militaries around the world are really focused on quantum computing, and that is only made possible by some of these high-powered AI chips. So there is a there when you're talking about national security and AI.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is the U.S. military actually swore into office a couple of these AI tech giants to advise on how to use the technology further.
You know, I asked Huo about this national security threat claim over the bill, and here's what she had to say about it.
And I still remember, you know, when I was covering like the preemption executive order, like multiple people have pointed out that the national security folks are really concerned about is America's export control of AI chips to China. Like that is what national security researchers identify as the biggest advantage the United States has over China in terms of AI. And yet, the United States, under Advisor Sachs, has exported NVIDIA's like second most advanced AI chips to China. And there's some research in the field that shows that depending on quality, it can, in fact, significantly erode the competitive advantage the U.S. has over China.
That was NPR reporter Huo Jingyan.
And it sounds like what she's essentially saying there is the White House sees Fia's bill as a bit more of a business threat than a national security one.
That was my takeaway, too. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Representative Fia himself.
And a 30,000-foot view of big government versus small government with political scientist Leah Murray. You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell. So far, we've been discussing all of the behind-the-scenes action happening at the White House with AI and how it has, of all places, landed back in Utah.
So I think it's about time we hear from the man behind Utah's AI child safety bill, Representative Doug Fia.
Please note, I interviewed him on Wednesday, and this was the day before Governor Cox decided to throw his two cents in.
So how does it feel with all the work that you put into and when the White House pushed back on it?
You know, I see the White House coming out with a letter that's been posted everywhere now at this point. I've been appreciative for the dialogue. We've met throughout the process of this bill. They have been collaborative. I think this is an ongoing discussion. I think the great thing about what we're working on and the hard discussions we're having is it shows that AI is a complex subject and that sometimes there isn't just a perfect silver bullet that's going to solve all the problems. So I don't see this as a, hey, let's shut this down, let's stop this. I see this as a future partnership and dialogue that will continue.
So you do disagree with the White House when they called it unfixable?
Unfixable in their words, that could be it. But I think that this is probably something we will continue to talk about, not only as a state, but also throughout the country. You have other states that are running very similar bills. And so I don't think that this conversation ends here. This will just be the beginning, and I think it'll continue on.
I'm curious about the executive order. I read through it, and it carves out the opportunity for state policy, particularly when it regards child safety. Reading through your bill, I would say that that is exactly what your bill does. So what do you say back to that now? Like, why would they want to shut something down if you are clearly playing within the rules?
Yeah, I think the part that is concerning to some within the state, some around the country, is around the catastrophic risk measures in the bill. And so as it relates to child safety, it's not going away. I don't think one disagreement means it stops. The great thing about policy is the best policies come from collaboration and bringing all the stakeholders to the table. And there's many ideas that start off, everyone hates it. And by the end of it, it's something that everyone loves and it's supportive. And so I'd love to get this bill and these ideas around transparency and catastrophic risk and child protections to a place that we can look at the idea of, yes, we can protect consumers, especially children, and also be pro-innovation. And I think there's an ability to do that.
That letter from the White House reads like a cease and desist. I mean, I'm sure, were you shocked at how short it was? It was a text, you know? I'm curious, has there been more discussions behind closed doors about how to move this policy forward?
It's been in constant conversation. That letter was not a, this stops here, or this is done, and this is something. I mean, there was discussions right before, there was discussions during, there was discussions after. This will continue to be a conversation. And so I think what you'll find is Utah being the leader in the path of how AI regulation looks like in the future. And I think child protections will be at the forefront. And next will be, how do we look at AI regulation as a whole? And where is that balance?
Representative Fifia, thank you very much for joining me on State Street today.
Thank you.
So Sean, give me your take.
You know, it really sounds to me like Utah Republicans have found themselves between a rock and a hard place on this one. Child safety is something they obviously care deeply about, but they are getting pushback from a very powerful Trump administration on this. And that puts GOP state lawmakers in a pretty tough and pretty awkward spot. And Fifia said he'd rather pass the right bill in the future than rush something through now. You know, if I were a betting man, which I am not, that does not sound too promising for this year's AI legislation.
Yeah, and I'd like to add as well, something that I sort of heard from Fifia was he was really adamant that you can have a balance between promoting innovation but also consumer protection. And when you read that memo, it seems like they feel like you can't. So, after talking to Representative Fifia, I still have a question, Sean. What now?
You know, I had that question too, so I did one of my favorite things we can do here on State Street, and that is sit down with a political scientist.
To the rescue.
This week, I spoke to the director of the Olene Walker Institute of Politics and Public Service at Weber State University, Leah Murray.
Sean, you said at the top of this episode that Utah is friendly with the federal government right now, being a red state and all. But how does this play into it? Like, could Utah push back?
Well, Murray says it is rare, but it's happened before.
It is not common, unless the president is doing something that the state is not really cool with. So I can give an example from Utah's history, which is not President Trump, but President George W. Bush wanted to do No Child Left Behind, right? The Republican Party historically was like, we should get rid of the Department of Education, that education really should be handled at a state level. But President Bush, a Republican, had a different view of what education could be, and he felt like the national government had a major role to play. There was a lawsuit that includes Utah, right? Basically saying to the national government, we don't think you should be telling us what end of level tests we should be doing here. So Utah is like basically saying, Republican Utah to Republican President George W. Bush, we're not interested in that. Republican President George W. Bush said, then we'll take your money away. And Utah said, never mind, we'll take the money and the end of level test, right? So it's like, it's not, you can always point to these moments. Usually when that happens for any state, it is when like a president has a policy position that's a little adjacent to or out of step with the Republican Party position. So you kind of see the state legislature probably reflecting the more traditional or mainstream Republican position and the president articulating something new that hasn't really been absorbed, if you will, into the Republican Party writ large. And that's usually when we see those, the dynamics of there being a same party, intra-party fight.
And you know, Hugo, apart from child safety, state sovereignty is one of the biggest things the legislature has really staked a claim on in recent years. They constantly took on the Biden administration on things like EPA regulations and public lands. You know, they even passed bills giving them the power to just ignore federal regulations they think are unconstitutional.
And with that in mind, it really does elevate that question of, will Utah stand up to Trump on this issue?
And the answer is maybe. Murray says we're already seeing some splintering within the government against President Trump.
Yeah, I think the appetite is probably increasing. So the answer from a presidential point of view is this is a lame duck presidency. He's not running for office again. Nobody is ever going to be on the ballot again with his name at the top of the ballot. So any of the, how do I say, political bandwagoning effect, right? Where you might see Republicans go, I have to go with him because he's the most popular candidate in our party. And when he's at the top of the ballot, I'm going to win. So you can like put some daylight between yourself and the president now, because you are not worried about the headwinds you might run into if you weren't agreeing with him. And I think it's not even just state legislatures. Like, you're seeing inside of Congress, a few more Republicans kind of going, yeah, no, right? Like, so you're starting to see even inside of the national government, some of that break, not huge break, not like, you know, major breakup, but just a distance between the party and the president.
That was Weber State University political scientist Leah Murray.
At the end of the day, it does look like Trump's memo has spooked the lawmakers up on the Hill, because Fifi's bill has been circled now and it sits in the House. Think of this as legislative purgatory. The bill is now just going to sit there, waiting to be picked up again.
So, will Utah take a stand and follow through with their motto of sovereignty?
Or is saying no to the Trump administration still in the too hard basket, even if it is about child safety and AI regulations?
Well, you know, I could be surprised, but I have to say I'm not holding my breath on this one.
That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. For all you politics junkies out there, be sure to stay on top of all things Utah politics by subscribing to our newsletter. You can do that at KUER.org/State Street.
State Street happens because of our team. Jim Hill is our digital pathfinder, and Amanda Anderson did our artwork.
David Childs does our audio production here at State Street, and KUER News Director Elaine Clark helps edit.
Caroline Ballard is our executive producer, which means she does pretty much everything.
See you next week.
A 30,000-foot view, sorry, of big government versus small government with political scientist Leah Murray. You're listening to State Street.
Welcome.
Is it 30,000 feet?
Yes, 30,000 feet.
Is that the same? Yeah. Yeah. It is 30,000. I've been saying 3,000 miles.
3,000 isn't that high.
No, I know. Maybe that's why my 3,000-foot views haven't been that good.
From KUER.